friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Four-time African Footballer of the Year, Yaya Toure, will make his final appearance for English Premier League champion Manchester City next Wednesday, May 9th. Man City's manager Pep Guardiola says the home match against Brighton will be, in his words, all about Toure. The 34-year-old Ivorian star joined Man City in 2010 from Barcelona. Toure signed a new one-year contract with Manchester City in June 2017. Guardiola says, and I quote, "Yaya came here at the start of the journey. Where we are now is because of what he has done." Yaya has made 229 Premier League appearances in his 8 seasons with Man City. During that time, Yaya has scored 62 goals for the club and won 2 league titles, an FA Cup, and 2 League Cups. This season, though, Yaya has made only 9 league appearances, the fewest during his time with Man City. In African club football, the group stage of the 2018 CAF Champions League is kicking off on this Friday, with matches in Egypt, Algeria, and Botswana. In Egypt, Al Ahly, winners of a record 8 African titles, will host Esperance of Tunisia in a Group A fixture in Alexandria. The match was moved to Alexandria from Cairo for security reasons. In Group B, MC Alger of Algeria is at home against the Moroccan club Difa El Jadida. And in another Group A match, Township Rollers of Botswana are hoping to roll over Kampala Capital City Authority as they host the Ugandan club in Habarone. In last year's two-leg CAF Champions League final, Morocco's Wydad Casablanca defeated Al Ahly of Egypt 2-1 on aggregate to win its second African title. Now, Wydad has traveled to South Africa for its Group C match on Saturday against Mamelodi Sundowns in Pretoria. The Moroccan club knocked out Sundowns in the quarterfinals last year, so the South African side will be looking for revenge. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Algerian Football Federation says it's preparing a bid to host the 2022 African Nations Championship, a tournament for locally based players on the continent. The federation says Algeria's Ministry of Youth and Sport is backing the proposal, and a formal bid document will be written before being submitted to the Confederation of African Football, CAF. Morocco hosted this year's African Nations Championship, and the Moroccans defeated Nigeria 4-0 in the final in Casablanca. Ethiopia will host the next African Nations Championship in 2020. Joining us now with more African football news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Harambee Stars new coach Sebastian Mnyee believes Kenya can qualify for both the 2019 and 2021 African Cup of Nations with better preparations. Mnyee, who was unveiled as a Stars coach, his mandate is to ensure Kenya qualifies for a continental showpiece.
We concede too much goals against us, and we need to improve that. We need to score, but if you don't concede goals, it's better.
South Africa Premier Soccer League chairman Ivan Xhosa says he has never met nor had any contact with Jennifer Ferguson, the woman who has accused South Africa Football Association president Danny Jordan of raping her in the Port Elizabeth hotel room over 20 years ago. Danny Jordan has denied the charges brought against him by the Sweden-based Ferguson. However, according to reports this week, Danny Jordan's lawyer has opened a case against Xhosa, claiming he is trying to derail the Safa's Bulls hopes of winning the upcoming Safa presidency elections by supporting Ferguson, a singer and former ANC member of parliament, by paying for her flights and accommodation to South Africa.
Ms. Jennifer Ferguson has issued a statement to the fact that I don't know her and she does not know me, and I have nothing to do with her case. I've contacted my bankers to investigate if there were any payments made through my credit card in favor of Fly Africa travel. Why, yeah, of course. For any flight or accommodation or anything for that matter.
Staying with football news, Lamine Kabah-Bajo, president of the Gambian Football Federation, says the federation won't be intimidated by anyone ahead of the FIFA Congress vote on the host nation for the 2026 World Cup. The Gambia's football president is insisting that his country will back Morocco bid unequivocally. His comment is in an apparent response to US President Donald Trump's threats to those challenging the joint bid by Mexico, Canada, and the United States. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More football news. The host of the 2026 World Cup will be announced on June 13th, one day before this year's World Cup kicks off in Russia. Morocco is competing against a joint bid from the United States, Canada, and Mexico for the hosting rights to the 2026 tournament. Joining us now with an update is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. I mentioned on Thursday's show that U.S. soccer president Carlos Codera spoke at a news conference in Denmark and emphasized that President Donald Trump is in full support of the joint North American bid to host the 2026 World Cup. Well, at that same Thursday news conference, the U.S., Canadian, Mexican, and Moroccan Football Federation chiefs outlined their bids. The United States, Canada, and Mexico submitted a joint bid to host the tournament, and Canadian Soccer General Secretary Peter Montipoli said his country's history with FIFA speaks for itself.
We hosted the FIFA Women's World Cup Canada 2015. We set records. It's the largest attended FIFA event in history outside of a men's World Cup. We bring organizational certainty. We've hosted every FIFA World Cup there is, men, women, youth, except for the Men's World Cup. And if we've given this honor and privilege, we'll be the only FIFA member association to have hosted every FIFA competition. We're the only G7 country not to have hosted a Men's World Cup. We believe, as part of this bid, it's our turn to give back. It's our turn to be part of the Men's World Cup.
Canada has never staged a men's World Cup event, while Mexico played host in 1970 and 1986. U.S. soccer president Carlos Codera says the fact that the World Cup has not been played in North or Central America since USA 1994 makes the U.S. a strong contender for 2026.
On the merits of our bid, the fact that we haven't hosted a World Cup in that many years and decades, I think, and it's a huge commercial market and an opportunity for FIFA and for every footballing association, I think that speaks for itself.
The chiefs of the joint bid say 23 cities are being considered as possible host venues for the tournament, 17 in the U.S. and 3 each in Canada and Mexico. The joint trifecta is competing against Morocco's solo bid, and the country has strong backing from African nations, as well as Russia and France. Itcham El Amrani is the general secretary of the Confederation of African Football. The Moroccan official stressed the unifying aspect his country would bring to the game.
As you know, Morocco, or the kingdom, has been here for more than 1,000 years and has seen tremendous stability and coexistence of various religions within its country. We would like to share that with the world and relay that message of peace and tolerance, while as well sending a strong signal to this African candidacy that Africa, yes, can do it for a second time in almost a history of 100 years of a FIFA World Cup.
The 2026 World Cup host nation will be announced on June 13th. Meanwhile, Russia says it is absolutely ready to host this year's World Cup. At a Thursday press conference, FIFA President Gianni Infantino sat alongside Russian President Vladimir Putin and referred to a previously asked question. What is Russia's percentage of readiness for the World Cup?
I answered without thinking, and I said 100%. Then I thought about it, and I said, sorry, I want to rectify my answer. Let's say 99%, because there is still some work to be done.
Infantino said they are now in the fine-tuning stage, and preparations for the month-long tournament are nearly complete. The event will be held in 12 stadiums spread across cities that include Moscow, St. Petersburg, and Sochi. And Russia is no doubt counting down to the June 14th kickoff in Moscow, and so are we. With 41 days to go, I have another fun fact. 41 is the number of own goals scored in the history of the FIFA World Cup. The most recent was at Brazil 2014, when Nigeria scored their own goal in their round of 16 tie against France, although that may be topped by a goal in the opening match of that same tournament, when a Brazilian player drove the ball into his own net in the 11th minute of the game. Brazil, however, did come back to win that match 3-1. Whew. Another memorable World Cup happened in 1994 with very unfortunate consequences. After Andres Escobar scored his own goal and gave USA a 2-1 win over Colombia. The first own goal in World Cup history was scored by Mexico in a match against Chile in 1930. And that wraps up the week. I'll hand it back over to you. Have a good weekend, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. You have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. A big weekend of sporting action is coming up here in the United States, a weekend that includes the 144th Kentucky Derby horse race and playoff games in the National Basketball Association. And joining us now to talk about the hoops and the horse racing is sports reporter Dan Friedel. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Sonny. How's it going?
Going well. I'm not a big horse racing fan, Dan, but I love to watch what is called the Run for the Roses, the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, the fastest 2 minutes in sports. How about a preview of that 144th Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, we've got a big crowd for the Run for the Roses, the mint juleps, and all the festivities in Kentucky at Churchill Downs, the famous track that gets the juices flowing for a Triple Crown season. You know, that's one of the sporting events in the U.S. that I think would be on my bucket list. Try to get down there sometime just to see what all the pomp and circumstance is all about. You know, I'm not a huge horse racing aficionado outside of the springtime when the Triple Crown races are going on, but it's one of those things in the U.S. where everybody stops and pays attention for just a couple minutes. And in these days of streaming video and watching things online and getting updates on Twitter, there are very few events where everybody stops and pays attention at the same time. So it's a pretty cool thing to see.
Dan, it's interesting you brought up that term bucket list. In fact, right before the show, I told our producer, Bill Werkinger, you know, Bill, the Kentucky Derby is really on my sports bucket list.
Well, Sonny, one day you and I can go down. We can plan a trip. Somebody will have to host the show if we're both there, but maybe we'll put it on the list for one of these years coming up.
I like it. I like it. Now, what about the age of these horses, Dan? Can you tell our VOA listeners what type of horses will be running on Saturday?
You know, the horses are young. They're 2-year-old, 3-year-old horses. The horses these days are really just primed to run for about a 6-week period during these three races. You've got the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont finishing up in Long Island, and the Preakness is up near Baltimore, and it's a fun time of the year. You know, 3 years ago, we saw an event that was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime event when American Pharoah won the Triple Crown. You know, the last time it had happened was a couple decades before, and you know, people thought that the horses are so kind of tuned in to win specific races based on the characteristics of the different tracks in the Triple Crown series that no horse was going to win the Triple Crown again. But American Pharoah was so strong that dominated the field in all three of the races. I don't think we're going to see that this year because everything that I've read said is that the couple of different horses are stronger based on the upcoming events compared to Saturday's Kentucky Derby. So, you know, a couple of the horses that people are looking for is one named Bolt de Oro, another one named Good Magic, another one named Mendelssohn. You know, the trainers are so good. Bob Baffert is a trainer who's in charge of this horse named Justify, who has perhaps the best, you know, the worst betting odds. He's the favorite, Justify, with 3-to-1 odds, and a great jockey, Mike Smith. The problem is that this horse hasn't raced too much in the year before and is just planning to make this big 3-year-old run in this Triple Crown series. So some of the horses have a little more experience, and I think that's why Justify has the betting odds, but maybe not the on-track performance that people are looking for leading up to this race. So Mendelssohn is one that I've seen talked about quite a bit. It's a horse that came from Dubai and proved itself in Europe, and now coming to the U.S. to try to show its mettle. So we'll see what happens. It'll be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun. And once again, the 144th Kentucky Derby taking place on Saturday at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm talking with Dan Friedel. And Dan, let's switch our sporting gaze to the NBA playoffs. We have 8 teams left in the playoffs, and they resume later Friday night here in the USA. The New Orleans Pelicans will host the Golden State Warriors. They are the defending NBA champions. Golden State leads that best-of-7 series 2-0. And the Utah Jazz are at home in Salt Lake City against the Houston Rockets. That series is tied at 1-1. Let's go out west, Dan. How do you see those two series so far?
Well, I've got to give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out to Steph Curry. I mean, you are probably hard-pressed to find another athlete in the modern era who could go out of his sport for 6 or 8 weeks with an injury and come back and have a game like he had the other night when the Warriors defeated the Pelicans to take the 2-0 lead in the series. I mean, just looking at his stats, 27 minutes, 28 points, 7 out of 7 from the free throw line, 5 three-pointers. I mean, it's a fairly close game when you look at the final score between the Warriors 121 and the Pelicans 116. I mean, this is with the Pelicans having a great game from Jrue Holiday and their star Anthony Davis and Rajon Rondo chipping in with 22 points. But you look at the Warriors lineup and you have no doubt why they were the champions last year. I mean, Klay Thompson, an all-star level player, had a rough night, only scored 10 points. But there's Steph Curry coming off the bench. I mean, like the best 6th man in the history of basketball. pretty cool to see him jump back in and be so good for the Warriors after being out for so many weeks.
And, Dan, I know we've talked about the international nature of the NBA on the show this year. Let me give another Sunny Side of Sports shout out for Joe Ingles of the Utah Jazz. Joe is from Australia, and he had a career high, I believe, 27 points for the Jazz. What did you think of his performance in Game 2, Dan?
I have to admit that of all the NBA games that I've paid attention to this year, I did not know the name Joe Ingles. Everybody was trying to figure out who this guy was and where he was from and what his experience was. I mean, he's not a young player. He's in his 30s. He's played all over Europe. He started his career in Australia and really was the spark plug for the win, the Jazz over the Rockets the other night. I mean, the pundits, I would say, might say this is the one game that the Jazz are going to win. But you never know, you know. A spark plug like that, if he can keep it going. Donovan Mitchell is having an outstanding playoff. Certainly looks like he's going to be a strong player in the NBA for a number of years to come. There's, you know, the tough defensive player that the Jazz have in Rudy Gobert. You know, it could handicap the Rockets a little bit, even though the Rockets have been such an outstanding team this year. But I think the Rockets will ultimately adjust and make it to the conference finals.
Let's come back east now, Dan, and your beloved, I think I can use that word, beloved Cleveland Cavaliers. They have been very impressive. They won the opening two games in Canada against the Toronto Raptors. They won last night 128-110 to take a 2-0 lead. LeBron James certainly seems on a mission, Dan. 43 points and 14 assists on Thursday night. I think he had 45 points in game one. Talk about LeBron.
Well, you look at LeBron and you say, well, he carried the team to the series win over the Indiana Pacers. And really just willed the team to victory after some ugly losses that the Cavs had in that series. You know, they said that the Cavs had the worst points against versus points for composite score in a 7-game series that they ultimately won. I think they were negative 40 in the scoreboard, but managed to win the 4 games to get to the next round. And then they barely win game one in overtime. It looks like Toronto is going to be a tough matchup for them. And the Cavs win, they play their best game in the playoffs last night. It's really great as a lifelong Cleveland fan to see the Cavs looking like they've figured things out. You know, Kevin Love contributing 31 points, J.R. Smith making shots, Kyle Korver making shots, Jeff Green, Tristan Thompson didn't have much of a game last night, but he contributed in the first game. And LeBron is the maestro and orchestrating these guys to get them in the flow early and then just finishing off the Raptors in the second half. It was really an impressive performance by the Cavs. It's the kind of thing that they're going to have to do if they want to make it to the championship series against the Western Conference winner once again. But we never know. I mean, look in the East. Boston looks really strong, even without Kyrie Irving. So we still have a lot left to be revealed in these playoff games. A
lot to be revealed, and let's give yet another Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for those Boston Celtics, Dan. They won on Thursday night against the Philadelphia 76ers, 108-103. The Celtics now lead that series 2-0. Dan, we only have about 30 seconds left in the show. Care to make a pick for the NBA Finals?
I think I can't go against the Warriors if Steph Curry is going to be as efficient as he has showed that he can be. If he's able to get back in shape and contribute in the conference finals, I wouldn't be surprised to see them in the championship game again. And, you know, the way things are shaping up here with both teams with 2-0 leads in their series, I'm seeing a Cleveland-Boston championship series once again. And the funny thing is that it won't get to be a showdown between the Cavs and Kyrie Irving. You know, Kyrie had such a dissatisfying finish to his career in Cleveland after hitting the game-winning shot in the in the championship game a couple years ago, it would have been fun to see those two teams fight it out at full strength.
Thanks, Dan. I got to cut you off. That's all for now. And that wraps up the May 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In late April, the U.S. Department of State released its country reports on human rights practices for the year 2017. These reports are a natural outgrowth of our values as Americans, said John Sullivan, who was serving as acting Secretary of State at the time of the report's rollout.
Promoting human rights and the idea that every person has inherent dignity is a core element of this administration's foreign policy. It also strengthens U.S. national security by fostering greater peace, stability, and prosperity around the world.
The United States does not rank countries by their human rights record, nor do we pass judgment. However, we would like to point out a few countries with the most egregious human rights records, said Mr. Sullivan. Syria has committed horrendous human rights abuses in 2017, including barrel bombing of civilians, attacks on hospitals, widespread reports of rape and abuse by Syrian government personnel. In Burma, ethnic cleansing has caused nearly 670,000 Rohingya people to flee to Bangladesh in recent months. Thousands have died. Those responsible for the violations, abuses, and attacks must be held accountable. The North Korean regime systematically neglects the well-being of its people to finance its illicit weapons programs via forced labor, child labor, and the export of North Korean workers. China continues to impose restrictions on activists, civil society, freedom of expression, and the use of arbitrary surveillance. Iranian authorities continue to deny their people the right of peaceful assembly and freedoms of association and expression. In Turkey, the detention of tens of thousands of individuals under an ongoing state of emergency has undermined the rule of law there. In Venezuela, the Maduro regime represses the human rights of the Venezuelan people and denies them their right to have a voice in their government through free and fair elections. Finally, the Russian government continues to quash dissent and civil society even while it invades its neighbors and undermines the sovereignty of Western nations. America leads the way globally to promote human rights. We will also continue to impose consequences on those who abuse human rights, Mr. Sullivan declared. No human rights abuser, no matter where in the world, is out of our reach. The human rights reports are a significant part of that overall effort.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there.
VOA.
On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.